Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Mookie Betts got married, and we're going to talk about who we wish came to our weddings. We'll talk about bringing Dodgers back out of retirement, and we will answer a couple of listener questions. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. That is Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. And this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And Vince, not a lot of actual news, at least baseball news. That's kind of the nature of a lockout, and we knew to expect it. But Mookie Betts gave us a little bit of Dodgers-related news by finally tying the knot at a beautiful wedding. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Later, we're going to talk about basically answering some listener questions about comparing Don Drysdale and Oral Hershiser. Going to talk about which Dodger players we would bring back in their prime if we could. And we're going to talk a little bit about Yasiel Puig and what's been going on with him. But first, let's talk about Mookie. Beautiful wedding. Looks like it was a little foggier than they would have liked. Maybe that's what happens when you get married in December. I don't know, but
and you got married by the water.
Married
at Terranea Resort, which is in Rancho Palos Verdes, which is pretty near the water. So,
yeah, I suspect that might be a foggy place in December sometimes. So, but looked beautiful. Everybody there looked happy, and it got you and me thinking. Which Dodgers we would want to come to our wedding. So we're going to do this draft style, Vince?
Yeah, we can go draft style. We're going to have another draft later, so I'm going to go draft style.
Yeah, it's a draft heavy day today. So we're each going to pick three Dodgers. Are we allowed to repeat answers or no?
I say yeah. Okay. Hopefully we don't repeat all three, though. We didn't do this ahead of time, but I think we have a differentiating factor, so I think we're good.
Yeah. Probably. Why don't you go first? Who's your first draft pick and who you want coming to your wedding? And for the record, this is a theoretical future wedding for Vince. And it is a me going back in time to my wedding. Cause I don't think even if my wife like divorced me or died or something, I don't think I'd ever get married again. Cause I already tricked one person to marry me. I think that's it for my life. So,
I don't know. You're allowed to renew vows. Maybe it's a,
yeah, that's renewal. True. Okay. It might not be a vow renewal. Almost said vowel renewal. All right, here you go.
First one is Justin Turner. There's a reason we see him at a lot of his teammates' weddings. And I've seen him in the element of being relaxed and enjoying himself a couple times. One time at the Kershaw ping pong tournament. He just seems like a fun time. And obviously he comes with his date of Courtney Turner, who also seems like a fun time. So I think that's kind of the easiest choice, Justin Turner right off the bat.
Yeah, JT seems to be a very supportive friend. I think he would be a good guy to have there. My first pick is, of course, Clayton Kershaw. And that's because if Kershaw comes to my wedding or my vow renewal, I think that puts us one step closer to being best friends, which is my ultimate goal in life, to be Clayton Kershaw's best friend. And so, hey, Clayton, I'll renew my vows as many times as you want me to if you'll keep showing up. So that's my open invitation to Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I'm sticking with the party theme. I'm going to go with Bueller for the next one. We've seen Bueller, his colorful language is always, welcome for Dodgers Twitter. We saw him tearing off twist-off beers with his mouth, which is, sometimes a cool party trick when it's not twist-off beers, but for him doing twist-off beers, interesting. People really seem to love that. And I would imagine Walker Bueller, because my wedding would have an open bar. Walker Bueller with an open bar is something I'd want to experience one day. So that's Walker Bueller is going to be my next one.
Yeah, my wife and I don't drink. And so the open bar thing isn't as big a deal to us. I think with my next pick, I am going with Gavin Lux. And that's just because I feel like the photographer would get a lot of gold, crowd shots with Gavin Lux. Imagine if I said the wrong name, like Ross did on Friends when he said, take the Rachel instead of take the Emily in London when Ross and Emily were getting married. Imagine that. And imagine the camera pans over to Gavin Lux and the look on his face when I say the wrong name. Like, I wouldn't plan on saying the wrong name. I wouldn't plan on messing up, but I would want Gavin Lux there just in case I did, just for the reaction faces.
That would be a good one also. My last one, there's a few guys I thought of right now. But I got to go with the big guy, Bruiser Gratterall. He just seems like a guy you want to party with. And he's not from Mexico, but he, from what I've seen him, from what I've heard, he's very into, you know, music, that type of music. He was out there with Julio when they had, I forget their names, but when they had the two-man band out there on Julio's bobblehead, he was out there just as excited as Julio was. You know, I don't know if I'm going to have that at my wedding. I would imagine I might have some sort of, whether it's banda or, you know, mariachi, whatever the case is, but I would, it seems like Bruiser appreciates that music. Plus, again, you know, it seems like he would have a good time at a wedding, and, you know, and he would have probably the best outfit there. Even he definitely outshined me in terms of what he wore to the wedding. So that's another plus.
So you're taking my pick. You're taking Gratterall for the mariachi connection, even though there's literally a Dodgers reliever who already owns a mariachi jacket. I guess Joe Kelly's not technically on the Dodgers. Maybe that's why you went with Gratterall. I was going to go with Gratterall. You know, Gratterall actually finished very high in a couple hot Dodger brackets in my household simply because he looks like he gives really good hugs. And that would be really important at your wedding. But I don't want to repeat. Since we didn't repeat on the first two, I'm not going to go with Gratterall, although I was going to. But for the same reason, I'm going to go with Max Muncy, because a Maxi hug, like there are very few things in life that I want more than a hug from Max Muncy. You know, like something about Muncy, he just looks like he's a heck of a hugger. And, you know, when you're getting married or renewing your vows or whatever, it's a great time to get hugs from your friends. And so I think Max Muncy would be awesome. It's funny that you mentioned Gratterall's outfit, because I deliberately didn't go with Mookie Betts. As much as I would love to have Mookie Betts there, I don't want somebody looking that much better than me at my wedding. And so that's why, like, Max Muncy is great. You know, Muncy's not going to outshine you in the clothes department. Gavin Lux probably isn't going to either. And, you know, Kershaw's not going to. You know, they're going to show
and
up.
And Betts would outshine you on the dance floor too. So, it, you know, you're kind of hurting yourself there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody would outshine me on the dance floor. But, yeah, so, you know, it's hard when you're talking about a wedding. Yeah, so I couldn't go with Mookie, and I hadn't even thought about Gratterall's clothes, but so I guess I'm kind of glad that you took him away from me, because, yeah, he would look better than me, and, you know, I want to be the best-looking big dude at my wedding, you know?
I feel it.
Yeah. You have any other ones you considered?
You know, Julio, just for the Mexican connection, and, you know, honestly, like I said, Mookie was one, but you don't want to be outshined that much at your wedding. So kind of those two. Vesia is probably the wild card because, well, again, you know, Alex Vesia, open bar. You know, I'm assuming he drinks Red Bull vodkas and he would just be super amped up and drunk, and then that'd be a good time.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought about Cody Bellinger, but like maybe as my best man, but you know he'd lose the ring and like not even just lose the ring. He would even remember he was supposed to have the ring, you know? Like, what's a ring? So.
Yeah. Are you getting married?
Yeah. What, is that what this is? Huh. I thought it was just a party. All right. Well, that's fun. We will have another draft later in this episode talking about Dodgers we wish we could bring out of retirement in their prime. But we're going to come back in a minute and talk about Yasiel Puig and talk about Orel Hershiser and Don Drysdale. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. And because it's the season of peace and love, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they will fight for it, and things could get out of hand. Want to cozy up with something warm? Here's a holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little and give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, you'll have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. Be sure to have a couple napkins on hand. And if you go to Built.com, you can use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Vince, we have a, let's do our listener question from, who was this one from? No, I can't.
Yeah, this one's more for you, so I'll ask it. It's from at Ronnie Columbia, and it has Don Drysdale versus Oral Hershiser. Who you got? I wouldn't have an informed enough take to have a who you got, so I will gladly concede this one to you.
Yeah, you. I guess you are old enough to have seen Oral Hershiser pitch in person, but not really old enough to really remember it. And I definitely didn't see him in his prime since that came before you were born. And really, this is a question of primes because obviously Don Drysdale, he's in the Hall of Fame. Oral Hershiser isn't. And for the most part, that is, I think that's correct. I think that's how it should be. If you just look at WAR, which isn't perfect, but it's a decent approximation, Drysdale has the edge in WAR despite having a shorter career. Let's see, by innings pitch, definitely shorter by years. Innings pitch, 31-30 for Hershiser, 34-32 for Drysdale. So shorter years, but more innings pitched. But, you know, if you look at their primes, in their primes, Oral Hershiser was a better pitcher than Don Drysdale was. Drysdale was awesome, struck out more guys. Hershiser wasn't so much a power pitcher, but Hershiser, in his, if you go 84 to 89, his six-year prime, he had a 130 ERA plus, a 268 ERA. You know, that in there he had his Cy Young Award. He had three other top five Cy Young finishes. He was just outstanding, but it's 6 years. And unfortunately, after that, 1990, he got hurt, and then he was just never the same pitcher again. You know, from 84 to 89, like I said, he had a 132 ERA plus, and the rest of his career from 1990 through 2000, he had a 417 ERA, which is exactly a 100 ERA plus. He was exactly league average for the last decade of his career. Drysdale, on the other hand, his peak was a little bit longer, starting as a rookie, 1956 through 1964. So that's 9 years. And his ERA plus was 127. You know, not quite as good as Hershiser's peak, but longer. And then his fall off wasn't as bad either, because the rest of his career was five more years and he had a 108 ERA plus. So he definitely got worse, just like Kershaw did, but he didn't get as much worse as Kershaw did. And so for that reason, basically, if we're talking about in their primes, if you need a guy in their prime, and maybe this would have segued well into our last segment today when we talk about bringing back players in their prime, I doubt that either of us would have picked Hershiser or Drysdale, but we'll find out in the third segment. But if you're talking about who would you want in their prime, would you rather have, you know, say 1962? That's weird. The year that Drysdale won the Cy Young Award actually wasn't his best season. But if you wanted a 1964 Don Drysdale or a 1988 Oral Hershiser, I'd take Hershiser in their peak. Overall career-wise, I'd take Drysdale. He was good for longer I'd say significantly longer than Hershiser. He also has the advantage of having pitched his entire career with the Dodgers, and Hershiser didn't. He started with the Dodgers and ended with the Dodgers, but went to the Indians and the Giants and the Mets in between there. Without knowing that, this sounds like a cop-out answer. It's the kind of answer I would give, you know? I can make a case for both guys. You suck, Jeff. Come on. Give an answer. Okay, take an Oral Hershiser. Give me Hershiser.
There you go.
How's that for an answer, Vince?
That's definitive. Yeah. That's what we need on here.
Yeah. You have any thoughts on any of that?
No. Like I said, I don't know. Drysdale was a good hitter, right?
He was a good hitter. Hershiser was a good hitter too, but not as good as Drysdale.
Yeah, so I guess it would depend what rules we were playing with. But yeah, it's hard to not think about Hershiser in 88, and especially as me, that's as close as I get. You know, Drysdale goes a little bit further back for me. So yeah, I wouldn't know, but it's not a bad pick either way.
Yeah, and we do have to qualify. They were good hitters for pitchers. Hershiser had a career 31 OPS plus. Drysdale had a 45 OPS plus. So they were both terrible hitters compared to real hitters, but compared to other pitchers, they were pretty good. So,
yeah.
Next thing we want to talk about, Yasiel Puig posted a thing on Instagram that said that it basically, it's like a little mini statement from him that that somebody helped him write, basically trying to make some points about being a Latino ball player in the major leagues, coming from another country, specifically Cuba. He made points about, you know, the dictatorship in Cuba, how the government controls the media, you know, the difference that is between here, between there and here, where basically he was saying in Cuba, nobody believes anything that's written in the paper because they know it's controlled by the government. And he said here in America, everybody believes everything they read in the paper, which made it hard for him because people would jump to conclusions about him. You know, there's a lot packed into this little statement, Vince. And I don't know, what were your initial takeaways from it?
Yeah, I don't know if we ever touched on the fact, but he did settle that other case. He mentioned that he settled. They settled because if they had to draw it out in the legal process, it would have took a long time. And he wants to focus on getting back to Major League Baseball. But, you know, so saying that and then saying what this is, there's a lot of good points made in it. You know, I'm not necessarily in love with everything that's in it. You know, blaming the media. Yeah, that played a part in Yasiel Puig's story. But, you know, him showing up late multiple times, that's not the media's fault. That was, you know, him. And that probably goes in hand with some of the other stuff he mentions about, you know, educating players when they come over from different countries. And that lays part of it. But, you know, it did take out a little bit of things that he did do that were facts rather than narratives by the media. Now, did some people hold those narratives maybe a little too tight and use them in different areas? Probably. But, you know, that's just the case of how it is. But, you know, it's true. You've heard a lot of players tell their stories about when they've come over. You know, Cuba's a way different story than most because they actually have to, like, leave, whether it's by, you know, some kind of small boat actually leaving the country or whether they defect once they're in somewhere else for, you know, tournaments or whether that's them paying people to get them out of there and then they end up owing people money or percentages of their future earnings, whatever the case is. So there's a lot to unpack in that sense. But I do think baseball could benefit from having, you know, some kind of program or, you know, whatever mentorship, outreach, whatever. It shouldn't come down to, you know, players. You know, Adrian Gonzalez kind of took Puig under his wing a little bit and different things like that. But it shouldn't have to come down to that thing. You know, there's other leagues that have some of these, you know, symposiums or seminars or whatever the case is. It would be, you know, it would help Major League Baseball if they did that with a lot of the players that come over. And I'm sure they have, you know, every team might have some kind of thing or whatever the case is. But, you know, from what I know, I don't think there's some big thing or some program that these players that come over from other countries have that would help them acclimate a little bit better to, you know, the States. And then, you know, just real quick, another point on that is just, you know, minor league baseball, a lot of these guys come in and then they come into minor league baseball, they might not be getting paid that much. You know, some might get big signing bonuses, some don't. That makes it a lot harder too because they're broke and they don't, you know, the culture and how to speak English and everything else. So there's a lot there that were made good points, and you know, it's good of him to bring that up, I guess.
Yeah, if you take this statement at face value, you know, what he's saying is that he hopes that during these CBA negotiations that the league and the union will address these things. And he's trying to make these points. Of course, you know, it's almost it's kind of funny. It's, I don't know if meta is the right word, but you've got this statement where he's saying that you can't believe anything you read. And, you know, the whole time you're kind of reading it saying, okay, what are his actual motives here? And kind of looking for the deeper meaning. And that's kind of, you know, obviously it's self-serving to at least some extent because he's been out of the major leagues and he wants to be back in the major leagues. You know, we saw a report actually on Tuesday that he's close to signing with a team in the KBO. That wouldn't necessarily preclude him from coming back to the big leagues because, you know, we may even see actual big leaguers if this lockout stretches out. Big leaguers legally could play in the KBO while the lockout's happening or in other leagues. So, you know, so that doesn't necessarily mean he's not coming back to the big leagues, but obviously that's his ultimate goal, is to get back to the major leagues. And a lot of this is with that in mind. And, you know, like most statements like this, he doesn't get specific at all about, you know, he doesn't mention any mistakes, specific mistakes other people made. Like you said, he doesn't mention any of the mistakes that he made. And so it's vague and general, but those of us who've followed his career know a lot of what he's talking about, you know, and we can even guess at some other stuff, you know, even, you know, he's absolutely right that there were things that were held at him that wouldn't have been held against other people. Yasiel Puig was a very good runner for a couple of years before people stopped making jokes about Puig making a ton of outs on the bases, you know, even when he did have negative base running value later in his Dodgers career, it was because he hit into a lot of double plays and those count against your base running. But his actual base running was actually very good. After his first year and a half or so with the Dodgers, he turned into a very good base runner because he was fast. And once he was definitely learning on the fly the things that American ball players, you know, play little league and then high school ball and travel ball, and a lot of them play college and then they come up through the minors, you know. And so by the time they get to the big leagues, they've made all their dumb mistakes and had them beat out of them. Well, Puig came straight from Cuba to half a season in the minor leagues to, hey, you're in the big leagues now. And, he had to make those mistakes on the fly. And yeah, they got held against him for sure. He didn't do a lot to help himself sometimes. And even his last days as a Dodger, unfortunately, you know, he was still, doing things, not necessarily his last days as a Dodger, but in 2017 in the World Series, he made crucial decisions that may have cost the Dodgers the series, you know, and kind of was, he kind of forced his way out. By the time the Dodgers traded him, they kind of had to. He had burned some bridges here, and that is on him. But like he said, you know, there's definitely some validity there to him coming into a totally foreign situation and just not handling it as well as he could. And, you know, yeah, you can blame him if you want to, but if you want other people to handle it better, then maybe there's steps that the league and the teams can take to help them handle those situations better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. That's enough Puig talk. If he ever resigns with the Dodgers, then we'll talk more about him. But for now, we'll move on from Puig. We're going to come back in a minute, and we are going to do another draft where we will each choose three former Dodgers who we wish we could bring back in their prime to the current Dodgers. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen, and keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Vince. So this last segment comes from another question that I can't find. Do you have it pulled up?
It comes from
a listener.
Yeah, it comes from at Champs or Bust. He said, if any Dodger could come out of retirement and we'd get them in their prime, which Dodger would you take?
All right, so we decided we're each going to pick three guys. There's a lot that goes into this. Sorry.
Are the parameters, we're adding them team now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. You know, there's a lot that goes into it because, well, Mike Piazza might be an easy choice for a guy like you. You know, we've got a pretty decent catcher. And so, and also, obviously, this wouldn't be, I think each of our picks will be assuming it was the only pick. We're not saying which three players will we take. We're saying if we could take one player, who would our top three choices be? Because obviously you're not going to, you know, we can move Max Muncy to one new position, but we can't move him around indefinitely, you know? So
yeah,
right. With all that said, I'm going to go first this time. Okay.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Manny Ramirez because left field, well, you know, defensively, he was not much to write home about. Left field, even with as good a season as AJ Pollock had, it's still a question mark position in my mind and in my heart. And Manny Ramirez in his prime would make that very much not a question mark. And you know, if the universal DH does come to the league, then we could bump Manny over to DH if necessary, if the defense got too bad. But I want Manny's bat in left field. So that's my first pick.
Yeah, that's always one of our first picks, and a couple of times we've done things similar. The other one is the one I'm going to have, and that's Eric Gagne. You know, as much as Kenley Jansen was great last year, and as much as the Dodgers probably don't need Gagne right now, in terms of, you know, their bullpen's pretty strong even without Jansen re-signed. You know, it's hard to say no to prime Gagne, prime, you know, whether it's roids or not, it's prime Gagne. We're not discussing all that extra stuff. You know, 84 straight saves, you know, dominant fastball, changeup, just filthy in that back end of the bullpen. You just don't have to worry about the ninth inning at all. And in today's game, you know, he might even stretch into the eighth inning a little bit, just depending how dominant he could be throwing more than one inning. So, yeah, that's the guy I'll bring up. And those are usually the first two that we take in things of this nature.
Yeah, all right. So two picks, two PED users down. So we'll see what happens next. For me, my next pick, I'm going to go with Adrian Beltre. Third base is a position of need for the Dodgers, if not right at this moment, in the near future. And it's kind of funny, like, because prime Adrian Beltre, I don't know if that would be the year that he hit a bunch of homers for the Dodgers or if it would be a little bit later in his career. But whenever Adrian Beltre's prime was, you know, great defensively and just an excellent, excellent hitter. And you can't go wrong with Adrian Beltre. And so bringing him back in his prime to add to this Dodgers lineup at third base, I definitely like that approach.
Yeah, third base a need. Second base also kind of a need. I'm going to go Jackie Robinson just for, obviously, you know, second base. Just the speed, everything that he brings, intangibles, you know, all those cliche words that you like. But it is something that, you know, you can add in. And as we saw, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping the Dodgers kind of take that approach they had in the postseason and become a little bit more aggressive on the base pass this year. And Jackie Robinson would help that. Having Jackie and Trey up the middle is just, you know, a pretty devastating combo in terms of offensively and defensively. And, you know, you just, like I said, you just get the quality of a guy as well. So I'm going to take that, especially since Dodgers, you know, as much as we love Gavin Lux or we want him to succeed, he hasn't necessarily taken that position as his own.
That's an excellent pick. I'm going to go with my last pick with one of Jackie Robinson's old teammates. Right now, the Dodgers' main position of need is starting pitching. And, you know, they already have Clayton Kershaw, hopefully, on the roster next year. So who else but Sandy Koufax would you bring back? So peak Sandy Koufax, obviously, his prime didn't last very long because of injury. But when he was legitimately one of the best pitchers in baseball history during that time when he was at his peak. And I would, you know, I have a son who I named after Sandy Koufax. I would love to see that in person. I never got a chance to do that because he retired 11 years before I was born. And so Sandy Koufax is, you know, I held it off till third for the suspense, but really he'd probably be my number one pick.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that one. Now, this one's a, I wouldn't say it's cheating, but I would say, you know, there's a lot of Dodgers that have just played either, whether 1 year, 2 years with the Dodgers, at the beginning of their career, tail end of the career, you know, Jim Thome comes to mind, now Albert Pujols comes to mind, but the Dodgers do need starting pitching, and hasn't been a better one in the last few, you know, 20, 30 years than Pedro Martinez, and, you know, he did start his career as a Dodger. We all know that trait that went down that ended up getting him out of here. But, you know, prime Pedro Martinez to the top of this rotation, you know, you got him, you got Buehler, you got Julio, and hopefully Kershaw. That's a pretty devastating tandem right there. And, yeah, you're going to win a lot of games when he's on the mound. And, you know, you're gonna have a guy that can give you big innings in the postseason. And I would expect Dave Roberts to know when to take him out, unlike Grady Little back in the day. So,
yeah, in fact, if we get three picks, I'm just going to go with Koufax, Pedro, and Greg Maddux. You know?
Yeah, that was my other one that I was going to do.
I think that's a decent starting rotation. So
yeah, not bad.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of says a lot about these current Dodgers that there aren't more guys that are obvious picks, you know, because, like, sure, you know, Dodgers have had plenty of, Sean Green was great, but would you really want him instead of Mookie? You know, like, even peak Matt Kemp, can you say for sure that peak Matt Kemp would be better than Cody Bellinger's going to be next year? you know, obviously he might be, but so yeah, it's a good thing to be a Dodger fan, but yeah, if we could figure out this time machine thing, that would be nice.
Yeah. And the fact that we're, you know, best player available was always on the board, but we kind of went position wise, which might say more about us than, you know, the Dodgers in general, but either way, the fact, you know, the Dodgers, just their history, you can go position by position. And, you know, I think we played GM a little bit more where we were filling some needs that the Dodgers need.
Absolutely. You have any final thoughts for this episode, Vince?
No, this was a good one. I'm glad we had some fun stuff to talk about, because it's been not as fun in the last few weeks, but this was a fun one.
Yeah, I do know sometime in the next week or two, before Christmas, we are going to do an episode where we compare Dodgers players to Christmas songs. And just a little teaser, this one we can't do because he's no longer a Dodger. But if we had done this a couple years ago, I would have said Kike Hernandez, kind of guy who you either love him or you hate him. There's obviously a lot of talent there, but also, you know, you kind of see too much of it sometimes. You get tired of it a little bit, which means Kike Hernandez is "All I Want for Christmas Is You" by Mariah Carey. So, you know, that's the sort of hard-hitting analysis to look forward to when we get to that episode sometime in the next week or two. So keep checking out Locked On Dodgers. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now, for your second listen today, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. You can also email us anytime you want at lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.